Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Elanor Retail Property Fund conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there'll be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during this session, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, CEO, Mr. Glenn Willis. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the results presentation for the Elanor Retail Property Fund. And thank you for your interest in the fund. I have with me here today Michael Balliver, who's the fund manager of ERF, and he'll be taking us through the bulk of the presentation, and Paul Sivia, COO for the Elanor Investors Group, will be taking us through the financial results. So I'll refer to the results presentation that was announced and released to the ASX this morning, and I'll direct you all to page 4, which is the results highlights for ERF for the half. Most of you will be familiar with the strategy for ERF, the strategic review we undertook over the last half, which has resulted in ERF now being a fund that focuses on non-discretionary retail assets that have significant potential for value add and indeed repositioning, and indeed repositioning to higher and better use of the underlying real estate, which means we've looked at the portfolio, and the portfolio consists of two categories of assets, being the value-add assets, which are Auburn Central and Tweed Moor, and the other assets being the income assets, assets which have typically neighbourhood, supermarket-anchored neighbourhood centres that provide very strong income, but don't have the same value-add potential as the two value-add assets. To that end, I'm pleased with Michael and his team's execution of the strategy of the value-add initiatives at the two value-add assets, and Michael will talk about the progress at those two centres. Also, executing on the divestment program for the income assets, which again Michael will take us through the timetable of that, and indeed when we expect the completion of that process to be, and the proceeds of which will be utilised to either acquire other value-add assets or to enable capital management initiatives, potentially a buyback of securities. So looking at the results, core earnings being up over 12.5% and DPS being up over 12.5% is pleasing, and the NTA remaining at around mid 150s. With $1.54. Again, it's been a strong growth in NTA since listing of the fund, and as the strategic review indeed has been undertaken to have that reflected in the security price. Again, the cap rate, portfolio average cap rate at 6.7%, we believe is conservative when we look at other comps in the marketplace, and our gearing is within our 30 to 40% range. So, in summary, from my perspective, I'm pleased with the execution of the progress at the value-add assets that Michael and the team have been able to achieve, and indeed the implementation of the sales program. We're very positive about the opportunity to acquire further value-add assets. Market conditions do indeed present opportunities in retail value-add, and it's an area where we as a group, and Michael and his team, have done a very good job and achieved very good portfolio returns and increases in asset values in those subsectors of the broader real estate retail sector. So I'll turn to page six now. I'll hand it over to Michael to talk about the fund.
Thanks, Glenn. We're pleased with, again, as Glenn mentioned, the progress that we're making in repositioning the fund to focus very much on value-add retail assets, which can be repositioned for a higher and better use, and also focusing increasingly on non-discretionary spend, anchored by strong supermarket sales, which has been always part of the fundamental investment strategy for the fund. As Glenn mentioned, there's positive market conditions for us to grow the fund if we are selective and ensure that the assets that we seek to acquire meet our very strict criteria to ensure that, you know, we can reposition the assets and continue to generate the high risk-adjusted returns that we've previously presented. The two value-add assets being Auburn Central and Tweed Moor, we'll go through some additional detail there, but fundamentally, we are looking to reposition those assets to ensure that the positioning of the assets is sustainable, and in particular, repositioning the DDS component of those assets to and away from a more discretionary spend to increasingly a non-discretionary spend, and we'll be able to demonstrate the impact of some of the initiatives that we've undertaken in this last half, and the impact on our, I guess, the portfolio weighting towards away from DDSs and more towards non-discretionary spend. As we've highlighted previously, the two value-add assets have delivered 15% total return to date, and we think there's further opportunity to continue to add value to those assets, again, as we'll demonstrate as we go through the presentation. We've also increased our capability. We've recruited some senior management in development management and leasing and asset management, and also increased our capability on the acquisition sourcing to implement the repositioning of the fund to the value add strategy. As a result of the sale of the income assets, the three that are currently on the market, there'll be some capital available for repositioning the fund's capital structure and providing opportunity for further acquisition opportunities as well as potential capital management initiatives. I'll hand over to Glenn, page seven.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. We'll just turn to page seven. We've provided this slide before, which articulates the strategy and the investment approach of the fund, and indeed, it's like any business or any initiative. It is all about the execution. We're confident in the strategy that for the fund, and particularly the opportunity to deliver outsized investment returns for investors in the value add retail sector or subsector, and indeed the market is providing those opportunities at present. But more particularly, I'm pleased with the execution of the value add initiatives at our existing value add assets, and also the execution of the divestment program, which will enable us to purely focus on those value-add assets that have delivered a strong investment returns. As Michael said, we've delivered 15% per annum compounded since listing, and that's indeed been the key contributor to the growth in NTA of the fund at mid-150s. Clearly, we've got to make greater efforts to have that NTA reflected in the security price. Michael, maybe we talk now about the divestment program.
Happy to. Yep. Thanks, Glenn. As we've outlined previously, the key result of the strategic review was to divest of the income assets, and we've engaged Savills to commence that process The marketing campaign commenced after Australia Day when the market was back. We're pleased that there's not a lot, in fact, no competing stock on the market which is comparable to the assets that we're seeking to sell. There continues to be strong demand for supermarket-based shopping centres that have strong performance, strong sales performance for the supermarket as well as WALE. And obviously, with funding costs where they are, the returns that are available for that style of asset is strong. The level of inquiry, we're 2 weeks into the campaign, the level of inquiry has been strong, particularly from private investors and syndicators. There's been always strong demand for assets in that sub $50 million range from that type of investor, and we're seeing that come through from the campaign. We get weekly updates from Savills, and we look forward to concluding the campaign at the end of the month. In addition, we continue to execute on the repositioning of the value-add assets. And as I mentioned earlier, very much with a view to repositioning the assets away from underperforming DDSs and discretionary retailers and more towards the non-discretionary components of the retail, which we believe is appropriate given market conditions. Just by way of refresher, we've replaced Lincraft at Tweed Mall with Aldi. They opened in August of this year, the results are exceeding our expectations, and we are now focused on looking at the repositioning of the Target, which is underway as well at Tweed Mall. In addition, you'll recall that we've negotiated an early surrender of the Big W lease. The Big W had a lease 2024, and we are repositioning it towards a non-discretionary focus. We have an agreement for lease with Aldi for a new 15-year lease, and have strong inquiry for the balance of the space, including a heads of agreement with an Asian grocer, Mini Major, both of which are closing their existing stores in the Auburn market and coming into the centre. And as a result of that, we're expecting to see a very positive rental reversion, and we've also seen a positive reversion in the cap rate as well for the asset. Just going back to Tweed Mall, we've seen a very strong increase in footfall and sales since Aldi opened in August 2019, and has also positively impacted our other supermarket anchors rather than detracting from them. Particularly Woolworths at the northern end of the mall has seen a strong increase in sales. The next plank of our repositioning strategy for Tweed Mall is progressing with our master plan, particularly focused around repositioning the Target box. You may recall that Target lease expires in September of this year following the fact that they missed their exercise of their 10-year option late last year. The focus of the repositioning is very much towards other alternative uses as well as retail uses. We've had strong inquiry for commercial office space, including a large government Commonwealth government requirement that we've put in a submission for, and has been positively received, as well as aged care and medical uses as well, which will continue to progress. As I mentioned earlier, we've also, as part of the requirement to reposition the assets, we've increased our capability both at asset management, development management, leasing, and also enhanced our capabilities on the acquisition sourcing with experienced people in that space in the local market. The reposition, so I'm on page now 12, just to give you a high level view of the repositioning of the Big W tenancy. in the graphics, you can see what's proposed there. In short, we've de-risked that to a large extent. We've between the AFL, the agreement for lease with Aldi for a new 15-year lease, and the heads of agreement with the Asian grocer, we are already above the income that was generated by Big W, and that only represents 50% of the area. So we're well progressed there, and we're expecting to get a very strong return on investment from that project on its completion towards the end of this calendar year. We are in the market with our leasing campaign, and we are, in addition to locking away the two larger tenancies, we're getting strong inquiry from that non-discretionary focused food and retail services use that we're targeting for the space. On page 14, the photographs there are the repositioned Lincraft box, which is now leased to Aldi under a 15-year lease. We've had a significant increase in footfall and sales at the centre, particularly at the northern end of the mall, where we've had a 35% increase in footfall, which is also benefiting the Woolworths at that end of the mall and also the specialty retailers. So in addition to introducing Aldi, we introduced a range of non-discretionary food and services-based retailers, which again is in line with our strategy in repositioning the assets towards those everyday goods and services offerings. Progressing now to page 16, this is a slide which we present just to provide an update on the specific initiatives, strategic initiatives that we're deploying at each of the assets, and provides an update there. The Northway Plaza lease renewal is well progressed. We're currently in discussions with the tenant there to take a new 10-year lease earlier or ahead of its expiry in 2021. So that's progressing well. The components of the portfolio on page 17 is pretty stable relative to prior half. On page 18, again, the components there are pretty stable, except it's been a significant reduction in income from DDSs, particularly Big W. In the last half, that was 8% of the income generated by the portfolio. That's reduced to 5% now with the surrender of the Big W, and that will continue. That proportion, that weighting towards DDS income will continue to reduce as we reposition the portfolio. On page 19, the portfolio again has been relatively stable in a valuation sense. The WALE at Auburn Central has come down as a result of the early surrender of the Big W lease, but with the Aldi 15-year deal and the 10-year deal with the Asian grocer, the WALE increases to 4.1 and 4.6 years respectively, based on area and base rent. In terms of valuations, we've reduced the valuation of Glenorchy Plaza given the shortening WALE with the Big W, but we've also increased, that was a reduction of $500,000. But we've also increased the valuation of Moranbah Fair by $1.3 million as a result of Coles now into percentage rent, strongly into percentage rent. We've had a very significant strengthening of sales at Moranbah Fair, and also the strong leasing interest that we've been able to garner both in the retail and the office components of that asset. Similarly, on page 20, you'll see that reflects those revaluations of the Glenorchy and Moranbah Fair. The increase in Auburn Central and Tweed Mall. The book values have increased as a result of capital expenditure has been spent on the assets. Auburn Central, which is pre-development works for the repositioning, and for Tweed Mall was the completion of the Aldi repositioning project as well. On page 21, this graph there is really just to show, to demonstrate that we believe that our valuations for the portfolio are conservatively positioned, and look forward to showing a good result, an outcome as a result, once we conclude the sale program for the assets towards the end of the month. On page 22, again, relatively stable, half on half, except the weighting towards Big W has been reduced from 8% to 5% by income. And on page 23, the weighting towards DDS has gone across the whole portfolio from 13% to 10%. And again, we should expect to see that continuing to reduce as we reposition the assets away from DDS and discretionary spend exposure. In relation to the, again on page 23, the expiry profile for majors, the FY21 is the expiry of the target, which we're well advanced in repositioning it. And the FY22 is the expiry of the IGA at North Bay Plaza, which we're well progressed on an early renewal of that lease prior to its expiry, and the Coles Tweed opportunity. They have a 5-year option, but that provides us some optionality for that asset as well. And all of this analysis excludes the new 15-year deal to Aldi, so it would obviously improve all the metrics there once we're able to conclude that on completion of the works. Page 24, the bellwether that we look at for the performance of the assets is always our supermarket sales, and we're now into percentage rent at Auburn and Moranbah Fair in this half, adding to the percentage rent that we're getting from Manning Mall. So that provides rental growth that otherwise generally isn't available from the supermarket anchors. So that's positive. And you know, we're approaching percentage rent also for Coles at Tweed Mall. So again, the operating performance of the supermarkets and the productivity that's generated is strong, and we're seeing strong growth across all assets, but particularly our Central Queensland assets. At Gladstone and Moranbah Fair, see a 7% increase in sales at Gladstone and 8.2% increase in Moranbah, and that's a function of the improving economic conditions in those markets, and obviously increasing population growth as well as a result of turning around the micro economies in those locations. On that basis, I'll hand over to Paul to run through the financial results.
Thank you, Michael. Referring to page 26 of the presentation, which sets out the profit and loss for the fund for the half-year period, a net profit of $6 million, a statutory net profit of $6 million, and with the core earnings adjustments to bring that net profit number into a cash recognition, core earnings of $7.1 million for the half. That level of core earnings at a payout ratio of 95% reflects a distribution of 5.24 cents per security. The result does include the balance of the surrender fee paid by Big W in respect of their tenancy at Auburn Central, and it also includes the accrued performance fee to the manager for the half year period, which is expected. By comparison, the manager, the Elanor Investors Group, does not take that fee up until such time as it's paid in cash. Turning to the balance sheet, The balance sheet reflects the value of our investment properties at $337 million and our debt level of $138 million. That reflects a gearing ratio of 39.3%. And as Glenn mentioned earlier, the net tangible asset value per security at $1.54 is a slight increase on the prior reporting period. Commenting just briefly on the debt and capital management within the fund on page 28, there is an element of the debt that is expiring in the next 6 months, $41.7 million. You can see that in the drawn debt maturity profile chart. We're very well advanced in respect of the refinancing of that component of the debt. Pleasingly, the average swap/hedge to maturity within our debt is only 1.2 years, and that provides a clear opportunity for us to reduce the cost of debt, the average cost of debt in future periods as fixed swapped costs historically were higher than current levels, sometimes quite materially. I'll pass back to Glenn for some concluding comments on strategy and outlook.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Just to sum up, we do believe we're well positioned to grow value for security holders in ERF. We have grown value well for that fund in terms of the NTA of the fund, and we believe we'll continue to grow value for security holders certainly in an NTA sense. Furthermore, we're positive about the execution of the strategy to, one, divest the income assets, which is well underway, and we remain positive about the outcome for that process. We're particularly positive about the opportunities to invest in further value-add retail, non-discretionary retail assets of the ilk of Auburn Central and Tweed Moor to deliver those very strong total returns that we've been able to achieve, as Michael mentioned, over the life of this fund thus far. Clearly, we expect to have that value ultimately reflected in the security price, and we're very focused on conveying the fundamentals of the fund and why why that should indeed be the case. So on that background, we should take questions if there are any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a telephone question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound hash key. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one. Thank you. And we have our first question in queue from Mr. Edward Day from Maldives, Australia. Please ask your question, Edward.
Good morning. Michael, I think you made a comment around the Coles at Tweed coming towards the end of their lease and optionality around that. Can you just perhaps give some insight as to what some of those options include?
Well, they do have a five-year option, but that is their last option. They are looking for an increase in tenor, there are multiple options that we can consider. Bit commercially sensitive, Ed, to talk about it in great detail in a public forum, but again, with the view to repositioning the asset toward non-discretionary, that continues to be our focus, and you can draw a conclusion from that statement, I guess, as to what might be possible.
Sure. And is the Woolworths at Auburn Central in turnover rent or close to?
Very close to. I think they're about 1.8% off.
Right. And given the impact that bringing Audi into Tweed Mall has had, what are your expectations for foot traffic impacts at Auburn Central?
Ed, we asked Location IQ to do forecasts for any time we do a repositioning. We expect that that Woolworths will very significantly go beyond the turnover rent threshold once Aldi's open, and have a similar increase in footfall.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, it is star one. There's no further questions in the queue. I'd like to hand the call back to the speakers for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for attending this results presentation call this morning for the Elanor Retail Property Fund. We're very positive about the prospects of the fund, as we've stated a number of times, and we look forward to reporting this time in 6 months' time in regard to the next quantum of progress that we believe we'll be making. Thank you, Michael, and your team for the work that's been done to date, and we wish you all the very best for the ongoing execution of the strategic plan for the fund. Thank you, everybody. Good morning.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the call for today. Thank you for all participating. You may all disconnect. Goodbye.